Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy that you are with us on the new dawn in America. That is Donald Trump being back in office. And what a glorious and busy day it was yesterday. I don't know, Kim. I've got you by a year or two, I know, age-wise. But I don't know many people that could put in the day Donald Trump put in yesterday at age 40 or 50, and he's 78 years old and was running like the Energizer Bunny while I was asleep last night.
I had the exact same thought because I watched coverage from about 9:15 a.m.
Yes.
until I took a very, very brief break, but then I had it back on even during the game last night, Ohio State and Notre Dame. We were going back and forth, and I'm seeing him, you know, he goes back to the Oval Office, he's signing more executive orders, then he's changing and going to the ball, and yeah, that was my exact comment, is somebody who was even in their 40s in good shape and healthy would probably have a hard time getting through that day.
Honestly, it was a long day. I mean, the only Trump just kept going. The people I felt the worst for was J.D. Vance and his wife, because they got those three little kids up on that stage. That parade took forever. You know, the kids were being about as well-behaved as you could expect out of children that age. I saw the little boy kept messing with his mom's hair.
Yeah, I love to see that. He's only 5 years older than me, which is just incredible. And I just love seeing a younger family with the younger kids. I thought it was so funny and sweet how the daughter had three Band-Aids on her fingers.
Yes.
Because I highly doubt there was any sort of an injury. She probably threw a fit, and Usha was saying to her behind the scenes of everything, what can I do to convince you to behave yourself and not embarrass your father on national television? And for whatever reason, the three Band-Aids, that was the agreement.
They were bluey Band-Aids. Did you
notice
that?
I didn't see what they were.
Yes,
that's adorable.
Indeed. Yeah. So hopefully you enjoyed the festivities yesterday as much as I did. I left here. I went to met some friends at an establishment up in North St. Charles County, and we watched it up there. Channel 4 even came out and covered it. There was a little bit of coverage of the gathering at the bar there on Channel 4 last night. I was there with Tom Shaw and a few other people, and we had a great time. It was fun cheering, and we had the audio up, and I was watching it when he got sworn in and when he's speaking truth to the people right behind him. And I just have to tell you something. As somebody who's been in the public eye for a long time, that takes a level of intestinal fortitude that most people don't have. Like, whether you're a member of the media or a politician, it's easy to say things at public events where you have your people there, your crowd, and be bold and make big, bold statements and talk about what your opponent is doing. It's a different thing to stand in front of a room filled with half the people that disagree with you and the outgoing administration you've been so critical of, and to call them out on their crap and tell them that you're going to reverse their policies right in front of them. Mm-hmm. It takes it to a whole new level.
I agree. I had the same thought. I don't think his message was necessarily aimed at being unifying.
No, not at all.
And you know what? He doesn't need to be, because he has a mandate from the American people. The party is, in my opinion, more unified than it's been in many, many years. I mean, we saw so many people from every walk of life supporting Trump, supporting the Republican Party. So I was so impressed. To your point, I mean, think about how many keyboard warriors there are that we've experienced in our careers, Mark, who would never, they have no no problem sitting there and typing these disgusting things to people on social media, but they would never, ever have the guts to say any of that to their face. And Trump had no problem doing it. That guy, no. It has no fear.
No, he. I think his fear button got broken after seeing what happened. Well, if you ever had one, it got completely dismantled with the way he was attacked during the last 8 years, right? Since he took office originally, the impeachments, the fake lawfare, all of this stuff. He's just done. He's to the point where there's nothing they can do to him. So speaking the truth to them is not going to do any harm to him whatsoever. My mom says to me, she's, 89 years old. Well, I was kind of feeling bad for Joe Biden when he was saying some of those things. And I'm like, don't feel bad for Joe Biden. Joe Biden was asleep at the wheel while the minions around him tried to destroy this country. And Donald Trump called him out on it. And I just about came out of my seat when he said, and from this point forward in America, effective today, there are only two genders, male and female. And I was really wishing they would pan to like Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris's face at that moment so I could revel in it.
Hillary was laughing at points during
the Gulf Trump's of America speech. Comment. Mm-hmm.
At least a couple times I know she was laughing. And Kamala just, I was impressed that there was a peaceful transfer of power. I liked that the Biden said, welcome back. I thought that was classy. But see ya, goodbye. I was happy to see them get on that helicopter and get the heck out of Washington, D.C. But Kamala, while she handled it with class, I'll give her that, she did look uncomfortable yesterday, but understandably so, because the thought that had to be running through her head was, that should be me standing there. She wouldn't have run if she didn't think that she actually had a really good shot at beating Donald Trump.
Somebody retweeted a tweet she put out in November before the election that said, I've already told Doug that he's going to be sleeping with the president of the United States on 1/20/25. And somebody copied it and said, better double check with Donald Trump on that.
Oh, gosh. No, didn't age well.
I'm not sure he's up for that, right?
And, I don't think he swings that way.
I don't think so either. There was speculation on the kind of hat that Melania Trump was wearing. And, was it some kind of a dark message of vengeance I saw? It just went on. And then did you see Barron Trump shake hands with Joe Biden as he walked out?
I did. A lot of people were commenting on
that. Rampant speculation on what he said to him, because Biden got a really funny look on his face after he walked away.
He was probably just caught off guard. He probably didn't think that Trump's son would do that.
Readers have added context to that on the X. It says that he's not talking to Biden at all. He's saying hi to Kamala Harris.
Biden just got a really funny look on his face. Somebody speculated, you forgot to pardon yourself.
I have more to talk about with these pardons this morning.
All right, good. Well, we get so much to get to. Just so much content after yesterday, because it was such a historic, momentous day with so much great stuff. Let's get to a little bit of it right now, Carl Middleman.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
Yeah, Robert's kind of panicked there, and he rushed up and started the swearing-in process without giving Trump a chance to put his hand on the Bible. And now the left is claiming, well, he's not a legitimate president because he didn't have his hand on the Bible. These are the anti-Christian left thinks Donald Trump is not president because he didn't have his hand on the Bible when he took the oath of office. It never ends.
But it's very hard for me to look at this spectacle of the takeover of the United States by a base mentality of greed and corruption.
Yeah, says Joy Reid, who's president, Joe Biden pardoned his own family members, admitting they're guilty of something as he walked out the door.
Senator, how do you think the situation's going with the ceasefire right now? Are you happy with the progress that's being made so far?
We're always happy when people are free, but Hamas is still a bunch of savages.
Wow. How refreshing to have a Secretary of State, and that's official now, who speaks the truth about Hamas and not a Tony Blinken who I wouldn't trust as far as I could pick him up and throw him.
Would you think about ordering U.S. Special Forces into Mexico to take them out?
Could happen. Stranger things have happened.
Oh, my goodness. Kim St. Ange, just the dramatic contrast between Joe Biden, who never spoke to the camera or reporters, and Donald Trump, who, when he went back to the White House after three speeches and before going to the balls to sign more executive orders, it turned into a 45-minute news conference taking any and all questions from every reporter in the room.
It was funny. I noted that, too. And, you know, Will Scharf, shout out to Will, who had quite an important role. He was at Capital One Arena giving him everything to sign for these executive orders, then with him in the Oval Office. That was fantastic. But it was funny because it was almost like you could hear Will try to start to explain what the next executive order was that he was signing.
Yes.
And he'd be interrupted because another reporter would ask a question and Trump would just go on and on. And you're right. I mean, to your point, I think Joe Biden probably gave fewer interviews or answered fewer questions in his 4-year term than Donald Trump did last night signing executive orders.
It was pretty amazing. We'll talk more about all that for you coming up here in just a couple minutes. Congratulations if you're an Ohio State Buckeye fan. I watched a portion of that game, went to bed before it was over, but happy to see the Buckeyes beat Notre Dame. I was very happy about that. All right, Carl Middleman, on this momentous morning.
Yes.
Who's bringing us the national anthem? Do you have a Carrie Underwood version of that?
I do have a Carrie Underwood version of that.
That's awesome.
The show must go on. Her sound didn't work, and she acapella'd America the Beautiful.
She said,
yesterday.
I'll just sing it.
Yeah, she knows what to do.
And she did.
And here she is doing our anthem.
This week, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
I would pay for a framed photo of the face of Kamala Harris and Donald Trump or Joe Biden at the moment he said that. It was a classic moment for people that thought that Donald Trump was going to stand up and give some flowery speech on he had to first tell you what all was wrong that he was going to fix before he got into a little bit of that for you. Did you hear what he did? One of the first things, like, he did so much yesterday that in the context of a 4-hour radio show this morning, we would have trouble covering it all. I mean, nearly 200 executive orders, many of them reversing Joe Biden stuff. But on top of that, new stuff that he's putting in place, sealing the border. And you know what he did yesterday? He had the people of the State Department remove the picture of General Mark Milley that Biden just went over there and honored and placed in the State Department 2 weeks ago.
Saw that.
Like, they had it pulled off the wall. And, of course, he had to pardon Milley because Milley was clearly guilty of something. Right? Like behind the scenes when he was stabbing the president in the back by calling foreign leaders, but claiming he was doing it for peace, and he just for understanding. And I mean, Mark Milley is probably guilty of the T word, but now we'll never know unless they call him back to active duty. I've read that's a possibility. If they really wanted to get him, they could call him back to active duty and court-martial him, because the preemptive pardon that Biden signed would not affect that. This is interesting. I heard somebody say this yesterday, that The pardons that Joe Biden gave to his family, to Liz Cheney, to Adam Kinzinger, to anybody who was on the J6 committee, they don't mean anything unless the people that he gave them to accept them. Does that make sense? Like, they have to accept the pardon. And according to a Supreme Court case, it was decided in 1914, if you are given a pardon, Acceptance and delivery of a pardon is essential to its validity. If rejected, the person to whom it is tendered, the court has no power to force it on them. There are substantial differences with a pardon. It carries an imputation of guilt and an acceptance of a confession of it. So in other words, if you accept a pardon, you're admitting that you were guilty of something and you're happy to be pardoned for it.
You also can only be protected from federal charges. So that does not stop a state AG from going after you.
It would not. I don't know what they could do with Fauci
or civil,
and some
by
of the
other way.
People.
You could be. You could still have to testify. You can no longer plead the fifth. I'm not. I trust me when I tell you, I'm still angered by these preemptive pardons, in particular with Anthony Fauci. You can probably guess why. But there are things you can still. There are things they can still do to hold him accountable, not to the degree I think he should be held accountable, because I think the man, quite frankly, deserves to be in a prison cell.
I think the greatest thing they could do is continue to point out who was pardoned, but just to move on and make America great. Let it go. You'd have to go to extraordinary lengths to find ways to still get at these people after the outrageous thing. Make the facts known to the American public, what you believe they did. Let the public decide. It's certainly going to hurt their image, as it should. And the reason, one reason Donald Trump has pardoned the J6 people is documents were destroyed, which means they did not have access to proper defense of their cases. They were railroaded in very many of these cases by a federal government that can do that to any one of us at any time. If a federal prosecutor decides tomorrow he's going to indict you on something, they could probably do it. And once they've got you indicted, you are in a vice. So none of these people had a chance once the federal government, under the direction of Joe Biden and Merrick Garland, decided to persecute their political opponents as they saw anybody who attended the January 6th protests. And that's why Donald Trump did what he did. And good for him for doing it. And now there's a question of whether or not they're being allowed out of jail quickly enough. We'll talk about that in Kim on a Whim coming up.
Kim on a Whim.
Right as Donald Trump was sworn in yesterday, pretty much the first thing that happened was that CBP app shut down. It was basically getting people in by the tens of thousands that the Biden administration set up. And shortly after that, I'm, you know, just scrolling on X yesterday during the whole, you know, the whole series of inauguration events. And I already start to see videos of these people at the border crying. You know, that's exactly what's going to happen is over the next number of days. I mean, we've been seeing this, but I really think it's going to ramp up with this app shutting down, because anybody who had an appointment, even within the hour of him being sworn in, they were all canceled. So I can understand why that's disappointing for a lot of these people, but that we have to get our border back under control. So Kim, what Donald Trump did was correct. And these outlets are going to pull at the heartstrings, and they're going to show you these sob stories, and they're going to put up headlines like this one article that I see. This is CBS 8, I believe, out of California, that says tens of thousands stranded as Trump suddenly discontinues CBP one app at the border.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. We need a lot of help in this country. We don't need more procrastinators. You had 4 solid years to get your butt to America and illegally cross the border, and you waited till the very last day because you procrastinated, and then you want to cry. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. Those people might have been actors for all we know. And I could not be happier with the fact that app does not exist anymore. It's just like an empty page, and they canceled all the appointments associated with it because it was made up to begin with. It was never part of a law. They just made it up and made it available to people.
Mm-hmm. So this news outlet went and did, you know, an interview with some of these people and listened to one of these guys talking about what he thinks is going to happen in light of this app being shut down.
I predict that more people will be injured and likely will lose their lives as a result of this.
Pedro Rios with the American Friends Service Committee says the CBP One app was the only way to get an appointment to legally cross the border.
Customs and Border Protection has worked with its Mexican counterparts to not permit people to arrive at a port of entry and seek asylum.
Hold on. I have to play you one more bite because that's how dumbfounding this whole thing is.
Yeah, it's really confusing.
He just is basically saying that we're going to kill people because we've shut down this app. Listen.
It means that many might seek to enter the U.S. through extremely dangerous ways, such as the mountains, deserts, and the ocean. And it'll place a lot of people in grave danger.
Here's an option. Don't come. Don't come. You don't need to. So many of these people who claim to be seeking asylum, they're not. When you're seeking asylum, there is certain criteria you have to meet. I couldn't exactly name it, but the point is your life basically has to be in grave danger, right? You have to be coming from like this war-torn area. It's not like my family and I, we're coming from a country that just is really struggling economically and we can't seem to find a job. You're not seeking asylum if that's your reasoning. And that part of what I think the Biden administration has done when it comes to the border that was an epic failure among pretty much everything else they did was that they loosened what it took for someone to be, quote, seeking asylum. And it was like anybody could. It's like, you know, I'm craving a burger and they don't have that type of burger that they want in my country. And so I'm seeking asylum to the United States to make sure I can get that burger. Well, we understand those burgers are really good. You're good. We're going to get you that appointment on the app.
As ridiculous as that analogy sounds, It's absolutely sums up what they did. That app was created, and I wonder if it was Holman or somebody's bite we had on here talking about that, said this app was created for one reason. These people are being coached on what to do. You download this app, you click this box, you claim that you need asylum. Under the Biden administration executive orders, you had to automatically be considered for asylum, at which point they would set you a court date and release you into the country with the belief that you'd ever come back and show up for that court date. No, you wouldn't, because it's a lie. You didn't come here to get away from death. You came here to get away from poverty. Mm-hmm. And we don't grant asylum if you're just trying to escape poverty.
Right. Yeah, I was looking on the official government website for that particular app, and it now says, and this was updated like 15 minutes ago, according to what I'm seeing, it says effective January 20, 2025, the functionalities of the CBP one that previously allowed undocumented aliens to submit advance information and schedule appointments at 8 Southwest border ports of entry is no longer available, and existing appointments have been canceled. We already saw Channel 4 went out and interviewed some illegal who was saying how he's been working here for years. His parents, I guess, brought him over here and he's raising his family. And those are the stories that are hard because as humans, we want to have empathy, at least most of us do. And it is hard when you think about that and you imagine your own family being split up. And you, for me as a mom, I think about the lengths I would go to provide for my son. I know my husband would do the same. And so I understand people wanting to come to America because it's a great country. This is a land of opportunity. You can go from the bottom of the bottom to the top of the top if you work really hard. And I get that there are people who have opportunities because of connections they have. But ultimately, like, the American dream is possible.
Yes.
Here. And this is one of the only places it's possible. And people see that. And that's why they are quite literally dying to get here. They are crossing the Rio Grande and doing all kinds of crazy things because they're so desperate to have that, to see that possibility that we are so blessed to get to experience because we were born here.
I'm sure that some of our listeners here are much more informed on how an app works than I am. But it strikes me, and my guess is it's already struck somebody in the Trump administration, that if all of these illegal aliens have downloaded this app, why couldn't we use it to track them? The Chinese do it to us. So if they've all got the app on their phone, it should make it a lot easier to find them. Or, and this will be controversial, we could send out a message to everybody who has the app that this is your one opportunity to self-deport. And if you choose not to do it, We will find you, and once we've kicked you out, you will not ever have an opportunity to come back into this country. I mean, you need to get the message directly to them instead of through the mainstream media. Put it out on that app in several different languages, and hopefully the word starts to spread.
You'd think we'd be able to track, but how many phones are they handing out? It's not like they have an AT&T rep who's there and making sure that everything is set up for them and that their Apple ID is good to go and their email. Right. And so I feel like it's almost comparable to like a burner phone where it's some cheapo phone and they're giving it to them and it's more or less just a means of a way to communicate.
Well, I'm not talking about tracking their phone. I'm talking about
tracking their app. But the app would be on the phone.
Well, the app would have to be on
the
phone.
So you'd have to track the phone to track the app.
It couldn't be a flip phone if it's got an app on it. So
what kind of phones are they getting?
Well, I don't know. I mean, some sort of a Google type phone, one of those cheap phones they give away with free phone service or whatever. You know, if you come over to us, we're going to give you 5 free Samsung Google phones or whatever the hell they are. I mean, it's got to be something with a screen on it that you can download an app. I'm just saying.
Maybe they're getting the jitterbug.
They need to send out an update on that app that pinpoints your location at any given time. It might help ICE with what it's got to do over the next couple of years.
Well, we didn't see any sort of, they talked about day one, how they would go into some of these businesses and raid them. And we didn't see or I didn't hear about any of that.
I saw Homan complaining that because somebody in the Biden administration had seen fit to leak part of their plans, because, of course, they want to discourage it, they had to reconsider the day one stuff. But you can bet it's still coming.
I'm sure it'll happen. What that looks like, I guess we don't know.
And again, the left and the mainstream media in this country would lead you to believe that it's some sort of draconian dragging people out of their beds in the middle of the night and throwing them in trucks and taking them to concentration camps before deporting them back to a country they may never have stepped foot in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how the media messaging will go on this, when that's not the case at all. And they've said that we're going to focus on people who already have orders of deportation that were not being enforced by the Biden administration, and criminals. If you're a criminal alien in this country, we are going to find you and we're going to take you back and drop you off on the tarmac of wherever you came from.
I should have played the Liam Neeson.
I would find you and I would kill you.
That was a mistake. It was a missed opportunity on my end.
I know. I'm just saying. It's a new day in America, and it's just refreshing, isn't it, that the adults are in charge again. That you don't have people who will look you in the eye and say they don't know the definition of a woman, or that a man can be a woman and get pregnant and have periods and all. You don't even have to put up with that nonsense anymore. It's like one of the executive orders Donald Trump signed yesterday was reinstating common sense to America.
Isn't it sad that we have to say that there's only two genders? The president has to say that. My favorite video to watch are the ones that Charlie Kirk does on these college campuses, and he says, "What is a woman?" And they say it's someone who identifies as a woman. You can't answer the question like that. No, well, what? How do you identify as a woman? What is that? It's like, what is a tree? It's what looks like a tree. Well, what is that? You have to define it.
They
chromosome.
Can't. They don't want to.
Well, obviously, that's it. They don't want to.
Chromosome. It's the science.
Right. Well, they agree with science when it works to their benefit, but they don't agree with science. The wackadoodles who have, love is love, science is real, whatever else that those signs say, it's only when it fits their narrative do they trust the science.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people on here are saying that, pardons or commutations don't cover treason and all of this stuff. I don't know. I'd go back to what I said earlier. The greatest thing they could do in this administration is just ignore the people, release the information that you have on what they did, just like they've done on Matt Gaetz and Pete Hegseth and all these other people they're trying to damage. Just release the information you have, let the public decide, and move on and fix the country. That would be the best revenge that Donald Trump could get on any of these people. As much as I despise Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, I just have to say that I think that's the best way they could possibly go about it. All right, we're going to get to a quick break here. We got lots to get to. John Lamping next hour. Love to get his thoughts on day one of the Trump administration and what's happened up there. Maybe we can talk a little bit of pardon action with John. Todd Pyro is going to be back with us this morning. Looking forward to that. 2A Tuesday, we're going to talk to some folks that are live out at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. That would have been a good time, let me tell you. We'll get to all that and more coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm looking at this crowd. I do not see many people of color. Has anybody else besides me observed that? I'm fascinated by why that is.
On Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the most notable and one of the most high-ranking is Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, first black woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court, notably appointed by Joe Biden as he wanted to follow in the footsteps of Jimmy Carter in appointing a number of women and black women to the federal judgeships.
General Brown, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is probably there. In fact, that might be side of his head.
No, come on, people. That's not what she's talking about.
But he was undoubtedly there.
Yeah, I saw Jim Clyburn. I saw him.
Poor Gayle King. You know, Megyn Kelly pointed this out last night, so it's not an original thought on my part, but I think she's absolutely right. That, Gayle King, is exactly the reason we had to get rid of the ideologues and the Democrats that are running this country. That's the reason. The fact that everything is identity politics to you. This is a woman who's a mainstream media news anchor at one of the highest paid in the business, best friends with Oprah, who famously took millions of dollars for endorsing Kamala Harris, a woman of color. Who seems to think everything around her has to be driven by diversity and equity and inclusion. And that's what America rejected. Reverse discrimination does not fix any problem. Now, here's the point, Kim, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but Gayle King was looking at the audience, right, who was made up in that room of the vast majority of them were members of the United States Congress, because they could only fit 600 people in the room. The vast majority of them were members of Congress who chose to attend. Some of the invited guests who we saw there, Bezos and his girlfriend, wife, what is she, his wife now? The one
fiance.
That dressed inappropriately.
Fiance.
Yesterday. And instead, they have to try to make a racial issue out of it on Martin Luther King Day. Should Donald Trump have handpicked a group of people because of the color of their skin and made sure they got into the rotunda just to satisfy the guilt of Gayle King? Of course not. And Donald Trump is going to have one of the most diverse cabinets you could have, short of having men that wear dresses in his cabinet. He's going to have Scott Bessent is a gay man married with a couple of children. I watched his nomination hearing the other day in the Senate. He's got women in high ranking positions, Department of Homeland Security, labor, Homeland Security,
education, chief of staff,
just right. Yeah. Right down the line. None of that is good enough for them unless you have, you know, whatever mix Gayle King thinks is fair in America. That's the only answer to it.
Well, Nora O'Donnell didn't really entertain what Gayle said.
She not at
just
all.
Pointed out, well, you know, so Ketanji Brown Jackson is there. Yeah,
the
but
audience.
I thought that was actually good that she didn't just sit there and go along and say, yeah, you know, that's a really good observation, Gayle. I noticed that, too. Because I think even Nora can, even though I'm sure she's very woke, I can appreciate that she's probably not quite as far left as Gayle is, who has to make everything about identity politics.
She does. And had this been outside, I don't know that the makeup of the audience would have been considerably different, but they can't ignore the votes. A much larger percentage of African Americans voted for Donald Trump this time. They're angry that a lot of black men voted for Donald Trump this time. A lot of Hispanic Americans voted for Donald Trump this time. And that galls them because they think that they are the party of fairness and equity. And guess what? There's a new sheriff in town. Coming up, we'll talk to John Lamping at the bottom of the hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.